Good morning, everyone. We come to the last of our series of studies in the book of Jonah this morning. We're looking at Jonah chapter 4, beginning to read at verse 5 and through to the end. If you'd like to follow it, you'll find it on page 928 of the Church Bibles. Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head, to ease his discomfort, and Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm, which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" "It is," Jonah replied, "and I'm so angry I wish I were dead." But the Lord said, "You've been concerned about this plant. Though you did not tend it or make it grow, it sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should not I have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Many thanks, Michael. Good morning, everyone. Lovely to see you this morning. And thank you, Jeremy, for leading our service. If we have the next slide, thank you, Stephen. So here we are at the end of the book of Jonah. And I've really enjoyed, I love the book of Jonah. I think it offers so much. Someone said to me the other day that, it's a long series, isn't it, in Jonah? And that's quite a short series compared to some of the series. When you think of the series we did in Romans, which did seem to go on a very long time. But I hope it's been beneficial, because actually it's really been a study about God's grace and mercy. And if we have the next slide, just a reminder of the difference of what grace is and what mercy is. Grace is when God gives us what we don't deserve, and mercy is when God doesn't give us what we do deserve. And the amazing thing about this story of Jonah is that we see these themes of grace and mercy happening all the time. And none more so than when we come to the final part of the story this morning. And the whole of the book of Jonah has really been building to the climax, which comes in these last six verses. But a quick recap, just in case you've missed a week or so. In chapter one, Jonah, of course, runs away from the Lord rather than go to Nineveh, which is where God had sent him. He boards a ship, but he's thrown overboard when a storm takes place. And he ends up being swallowed by a fish. That's all in chapter one. In chapter two, we find Jonah inside the fish. And there he comes to terms with his disobedience. And we find him crying out to the Lord. And he's saved from an ignominious death of being the only person ever to be eaten by a fish. In chapter three, I guess having had that time to think and repent to some extent, he finally obeys God's command and he goes to Nineveh and he preaches the message that God has given him to give to that great city. You have 40 days to repent or you will be wiped out. That's the message. And as we read at the end of chapter 3, the city repents and God relents from destroying them. And then 2 weeks ago, Michael began the beginning of chapter 4, and we saw Jonah's anger that God had shown mercy to Nineveh. And so here we are at verse 5 of chapter 4. This is what we're going to be following this morning, just so you sort of can plot where we are going. But in these verses, God confronts Jonah with Jonah's limited vision of what mercy and grace looks like. And God shows Jonah what it means to have a heart which cares for the lost. So let's think first of all about Jonah's posture. Verse 5, Jonah went out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Well, Jonah's very much at the edge of things now, isn't he? He's no longer inside Nineveh. He's no longer actively proclaiming the need for repentance. He's done that. He's fulfilled God's command to him. And now it seems that he's waiting and watching. And he builds himself a little shelter to shade himself as he watches to see what God will do. But what's he waiting for, really? Why is he watching? Well, one commentator, Richard Cokin, says in his book about Jonah called The Reluctant Prophet that Jonah was hoping that God would still rain down the fires of hell on Nineveh as he once had on Sodom and Gomorrah. That's despite God having used Jonah's preaching to bring a whole city of 120,000 people. Yeah, that might seem a bit odd because the city have repented. God seems to have relented. So why does Jonah still have this expectation? Well, if we look elsewhere in the Bible, there are occasions where punishment still follows repentance. Take the story of David's adultery with Bathsheba as an example in 2 Samuel chapter 12. Despite David's expression of repentance after the act, the child of their union still dies. The consequences of sin are not always lessened as a result of our repentance. While we may be genuine in our expression of repentance towards God, sometimes the result of our deeds have to play out. So you see, maybe it's not so odd that Jonah is sitting here waiting and watching. There's some sort of justification, if you like, in Jonah waiting to see what's going to happen. But here's the thing. Jonah was waiting for God to come round to his way of thinking. But God was waiting for Jonah to come round to his way of loving. I'll say that again. Jonah was waiting for God to come round to his way of thinking, whereas God was waiting for Jonah to come round to his way of loving. You know, it made me sort of pause and wonder, are there times when maybe we act a little bit like Jonah? Where maybe we build our shelter not for rest, but for viewing. We see things happen and we take some delight in it because they deserve that. Jonah's waiting to see what will happen to the city. His hope isn't for mercy, but for judgment. And I just wonder sometimes, might we also be waiting and watching, not to see God's mercy play out, but the opposite? Because if we are, then we're like Jonah, and we're unable to rejoice in God's mercy. You see, Jonah, I've got here, he's lost all sense of God's compassion. I'm not sure he ever really did. He'd forgotten that universal divine promise that if we believe, we will be saved. That's God's promise. It was his promise to Nineveh. It's his promise to the town of Guildford. It's his promise to each one of us this morning. Jonah's posture. But what's with the vine? Well, Jonah's sitting there, he's made his little shelter, but God goes one step further and provides a vine and makes it grow over Jonah to give him shade for his head, to ease his discomfort. And we read that Jonah was very happy about the vine. Well, what a wonderful example of divine kindness in action. The same God who's ready to forgive Nineveh is also attentive to Jonah's discomfort. And he plants this vine to give Jonah shade and relief. You know, the vine is not a gift. It's not something that Jonah had earned. It wasn't something that Jonah had planted. It wasn't even something that he had asked God for. There's a recurring phrase which runs through the book of Jonah. I wonder if you've noticed it as you've read it. It comes first in chapter 1, verse 4, where we read that the Lord provided a great wind on the sea. And then later in chapter 1, we read that the Lord provided a great fish. Then here in verse 6 of chapter 4, the Lord provides a vine. In verse 7, provides a worm. And finally in verse 8, when the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind. In other words, what we're seeing through this book is that God, the creator, is in control of all that he has made. And God's mercies extend to all that he has created. God isn't indifferent to our discomfort. He's not indifferent to Jonah's discomfort. In our waiting, in our watching, even in our those times when we are resentful, God still comes and meets us with love and care. The vine is a picture of grace. It's a picture of what we get, even though we don't deserve it. What a relief to know that God is tender towards us, even when we are grumpy and foolish. And as a result, Jonah was very happy about the vine. And if you've ever been out in extreme heat, you'll know what a sense of relief it is when you find shade. But here's the thing. Despite his discomfort being eased by God, Jonah remains unmoved regarding Nineveh's fate. He doesn't rejoice at the repentance of Nineveh. And yet he rejoices at the gift of the vine which God gave. Jonah has things back to front, doesn't he? And again, a question for us. I wonder what causes us to rejoice in our lives. Is it those things that bring us personal comfort? Or do we rejoice when we see God's kingdom grow as people come to faith? That's why I want to encourage you to join me this evening at St. John's Stoke, where Wai Shun, a member of our congregation, is being baptized and confirmed, along with a number of other people from our deanery. Because each one of them has a story of having discovered God's grace, of being recipients of God's mercy. And we come together not just because the bishop's there and it's a confirmation service, but we come gathering to rejoice at what God is doing. But when we move in the story from relief to suffering, because we read that at the dawn the next day, God provides a worm that chews the vine so that it withered. And when the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind. And the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. And Jonah wanted to die. And he said, it would be better for me to die than to live. Jonah moves from comfort to discomfort. The vine's destroyed. The wind and the sun beat down. Jonah's faint. He's distressed, so angry that he wants to die. This time not because of the city's repentance, but because his means of relief from the heat is gone. How selfish of Jonah. He now feels himself to be victimized by what's happened to him. He was convinced that he was right in what he believed should have happened to Nineveh. He believed that God was wrong in saving Nineveh, and he's now angry that God has taken away his comfort from the heat. And yet at no point does Jonah stop himself and go, hang on a sec, have I really got this right? He's still resentful. His heart is still hardened towards the grace and the mercy of God. And so God asks him a question. I've called it the big question. Jonah, do you have a right to be angry? Do you have a right to be angry about the vine? You know, it's the same question that God asks Jonah. He asks this question twice to him. And what God is trying to point out here is Jonah's misplaced compassion. You know, he's saying to Jonah, look, you cared about the vine, but you did nothing for it. It rose, you enjoyed it. Now it's died and you mourn it. Shouldn't I have compassion on Nineveh, that great city? I believe that the vine is a mirror. Jonah's love for the vine, a small thing he didn't grow, it shows how shallow and self-centered Jonah's compassion is. And the question for us is perhaps this: in our times of self-centeredness, in our times of bitterness, in our times of anger, do we miss seeing God's grace and mercy at work? Jonah couldn't see beyond the vine. He couldn't see beyond the things that satisfied him, that made his, brought him relief. But you see, God's ways are higher than ours. His mercy is beyond our understanding. But Jonah doesn't see it. So God finds a way to gently but firmly confront him. And what Jonah had failed to realize, what Jonah had failed to get, was that God's compassion, his mercy, reaches out to that whole city, to those who are ignorant, to those, as we read, don't know their right hand from their left. Right and left. They are in need of mercy. And it's interesting that, you know, even the cattle, God mentions, verse 11, Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Here's the amazing thing about God's compassion and mercy. It's not rooted in merit. It's not rooted in how worthy we are. It's not rooted in favoritism. But it's in his very nature. It's in his tenderness for people who need him. The city is great. The people are many. They're not Israel. They're not God's people as such. They're not who Jonah would choose to save. And yet God loves them as his own. God longs for them to come back to him. And God shows his mercy that they might be recipients of his grace. And the story finishes with a question, doesn't it? And it's a question which is very applicable to us. Should I not be concerned about that great city? Well, God's talking about Nineveh, but we could be talking about Guildford this morning here, couldn't we? Or any other city or town that we know. God says, should I not be concerned about Guildford? About those in our town who don't know their right hand from their left? From those who yet don't understand or know about God's mercy and grace. Well, what does this passage mean for us as individuals and as a church? Well, firstly, I think, as I've said, we need to check our own hearts, don't we, for anger and resentment. Jonah's story forces us to ask, are there people or groups we think shouldn't receive God's mercy? Are we sitting in some shelters of comfort, watching others, waiting for them to fall? And God says to us, do you have a right to be angry? Then also, I think the challenge is here for us to recognize the generosity of God's grace. As I said, the vine was a gift. It came up overnight. It was a surprise. In some ways, God's mercy surprises us in our own lives and in the lives of others. The fact that such mercy extends to those that we might think are undeserving reminds us that grace is not a reward, but a gift. Thirdly, we need to realign our mission with God's compassion for the many. God's heart is for that great city, for those who are lost, who are marginalized, who are ignorant. And the church, our church, is called not just to comfort the comfortable, but to reach out to the city, to the many, to the ones who cannot tell their right hand from their left. Those people in our streets and our neighborhoods where we live, the people we work with, those we are in clubs with, our friends. There are people who need mercy more than we need comfort. I think also this book reminds us to value creation and the whole of humanity. Why does God mention the cattle? Well, I think it's just a reminder, isn't it, that his compassion extends beyond humans. Our stewardship of creation, our care for the environment, for animals, God has created all. We cannot claim to love God and ignore his broader creation. And then lastly, I think this book is a reminder for us to trust God's sovereignty and timing. Jonah wanted to see what would become of the city. He had his own timeline, but God has his. God can use the loss of shade in our lives to show us our need of him, that we might turn our gaze outwards, away from self. We worship a God who Jonah reminds us is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. And it's a reminder for us as individuals, as in the church this morning, that we likewise are to be gracious and to be compassionate, that we might abound in love. We have good news to share with a town that doesn't know its right from its left. You know, we may not go to Nineveh, but God calls us to go to the Ninevehs in our lives, wherever that might be, because God has a message for them. God has good news, and it's a message of grace and mercy. And may the grace of the God who plants shade, who withholds his anger, who has mercy on all people, lead each one of us into a deeper obedience, a wider compassion, and a greater mission. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are the God of grace and mercy. You care not just for the vine that gives us shade, but for the great city, the people you formed. Forgive us when we reduce the radius of your mercy. Forgive us when we sit in our shelters of comfort and watch others suffer. Lord God, may you change our hearts. May your vision be our vision. May we feel your pity. May we live your compassion. May we proclaim your mercy. For the sake of your kingdom and your glory. Amen.